Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, if you'll find your notes that were there in your bulletin when you walk in, we're going to address a subject today that I think is kind of relevant. Now, I'm going to ask a rhetorical question. And by the way, when I say rhetorical question, it means I already know the answer. All right? And you don't have to raise your hand. How many of you are here this morning and you're in a situation, a circumstance, where you really need God to provide something for you? Where you've been praying, where you've been waiting, where you've been seeking, when you've been straining to try and figure out how life is going, what's going on, what do I do this, how does this go? Well, we're going to look at that circumstance today, and I want to tell you this. I'm going to give it to you up front. The key to your provision is obedience. The key to your provision is obedience. We're going to look at the story that's found in Genesis 22. It's a story about Abraham offering his son up as a sacrifice. Now, please understand something, that when you read the Bible, make sure you don't miss the real story. Because if you're not careful when you read this passage, you're going to think, how could God ask him to give up his son? That's just cruel. That doesn't make any sense at all. The issue is not about Abraham killing his son. The issue is about Abraham believing God's promise. It's about Abraham trusting God. That's what this story is about. And so that's what we're going to look at today is, will God keep his promise? And you and I have to ask that same question, don't we? Is God going to do what he's promised he's going to do? Is God going to take care of me? Is God going to provide for me? And if he is, what do I got to do for that to happen, right? That's the question. Well, the simple answer is this. All you have to do is obey. Obey. Well, let's look at the story. Let's look at, first of all, the enemies of obedience. The enemies of obedience. What keeps us from obeying? Number one, it's unreasonable. It's unreasonable. Why? You ever ask that question? God, why are you doing this? God, why is it going this way? It just is unreasonable to me. It doesn't make sense. Look at verses 1 and 2 in Genesis 22. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son. Now, when he says that, I'm thinking, God's rubbing it in, right? Take your son's enough. But now, your only son, Abraham. Now, see, the problem is, Abraham has another son. This is about the promise. This is about God's ways. That other son was Abraham's doing, not God's. Take your son, the son I've provided for you. Yes, Isaac, whom you love so much. Yeah, just make it worse, God, why don't you? Yeah, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains with which I will show you. Really? Why? You see, a lot of things that God asks us to go through don't make sense to us, do they? God, why are you doing this to me? God, why is it going on this way? And as you go through life and as you go through serving God, you cannot get hung up on the why question. God usually doesn't answer it. Because the answer is, the issue is not you understanding, it's you obeying. And if we only do what we understand, we make things a lot harder, don't we? And if we only do what we understand, we end up disobeying God, right? Okay, so it's unreasonable. And if it doesn't make sense to me, I don't know that I'm going to do it. That gets in our way. It's an enemy of obedience. Second enemy, it's untimely. It's untimely. Why now? God, now's not a good time. Have you ever noticed that problems are never convenient? When's a good time for you to have some problems? How about never? Right? That's kind of the way it is, right? Verse 3, 4, and 5. The next morning, Abraham got up early. Wow. He saddled his donkey, took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. He chopped wood for a fire, for a burnt offering, set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. "Stay here with the donkey," Abraham told the servants. "The boy and I will travel a little farther, and we will worship there." And notice what he says, "and we will come right back." Now, why would he say "we"? He's going to sacrifice. If he's coming back, he's coming back alone. You get up the next day, go do this. "God, when would you like for me to do this? How about now? When's a good time to obey God?" Now. It's not when you understand. It's not when it's a little more convenient. It's not when it makes sense to you. It's not when you get a few other things done. It's now. "Well, I'll straighten up my life when I get this and this." No, it's now. It's not always convenient to obey God. It's just untimely. Thirdly, it's unfair. It's unfair. God, here's the other question. Why me? Again, don't raise your hands. Have you ever felt like you're a martyr and you're the only one going through the difficulties of life and everybody else has got it easy and you're the one suffering the most? Or maybe they don't have it easy, but they got it easier than me. After all, they're not going through what I'm going through. They've got it easy compared to me. There's been a time in your life when you felt like you're having it worse than anybody else. Again, rhetorical question. The answer is yes. Yeah. Verses 6, 7, and 8. "So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, 'Father?' 'Yes, my son,' Abraham replied. 'We have the fire and the wood,' the boy said. 'But where's the sheep for the burnt offering?'" Let's just keep twisting the knife while it's in me. "I'm getting up early. I don't understand what's going on. I'm doing this now. And now my boy says, 'What's going on, Dad? What's happening?' And Abraham answered, 'God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son,' Abraham answered. And they both walked on together." You see, please understand something. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how big or bad it is. God is not asking more of you than he's asking of others. What you're going through is tough and hard, but other people are going through tough and hard things. Your way isn't one that's just special for you and no one else understands. Please hear me. A lot of people understand. Everyone goes through, the Bible tells us, common problems in life. And sometimes we kind of separate ourselves and say, "This is the worst anybody's ever had it. God, why are you doing this? And why do I have to go through this now? It's not convenient. It's not a good time in my life. It's not fair. It's not right. And God, why me? Why me?" Fourth thing, it's unbearable. Why is it so hard? Verse 9, "When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar, arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood, and Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice." I don't think I could have done that. I don't think I would have done that. You see, all of us get to a point in our life where what we're going through seems so difficult and so unreasonable and so unfair and just not good that we come to a point where, are we going to pick up the knife? Are we going to keep doing this even when it's just really hard? Even though it doesn't make sense to us and this is just really difficult and boy, I don't know, God, really, this is what you want? And God, I just don't understand and it doesn't make sense to me. And we forget that God has promised us that nothing will ever come our way that he and I can't handle together. And when problems come and difficulties, every one of us have been through these emotions, haven't we? Every one of us have asked this question at one time or another, haven't we? All of us deal with it and struggle with it, don't we? Here's what we understand, though. Satan knows that if he can get us to get hung up on our questions and not follow God in obedience, then we will not see God's provision. And Satan is doing everything he can to get you hung up on why? Why now? Why me? God, why is it so hard? God, I don't understand. God, this isn't fair. And when we start asking the question, we start questioning whether or not we need to do what God wants us to do. And Satan knows that if he can get us to buy into those questions and everything, that at some point in time, maybe we'll give up, maybe we'll quit, and we just won't do what God wants us to do. And then we never get the provision. And here's the real sad thing. And then we blame God. Right? Come on. I know it's early. It's us, isn't it? Isn't it amazing how we blame God? Why are you doing this to me? It's not right. God, this is too much. God, I don't understand. God, it doesn't make sense. God, why? How come? God, and then it doesn't happen and we kind of bail and we don't do everything we know God wants us to do. And then, God, why'd you do this to me? And we don't see that we hold the key to this. Obey. Obey. Do what's right before God. In spite of all the questions, in spite of all the things going on. Well, Pastor, hold it. You just don't understand. Well, you're wrong. We all have been through it. So how do I obey? How do I defeat these issues? How do I go against these things that come into my life, these enemies that want me not to obey God and want me to give in to myself? How do I defeat this? How do I come against it? I want to give you some principles that you can put in place into your life so that you can obey God and see God provide for you. First one, realize the closeness of God. Realize the closeness of God. Here's what you need to know. You are never alone. You are never on your own. You are never by yourself. God is always with you. And sometimes when you're going through these times, it feels like it's you against the world. And you feel like everybody's abandoned you. How do you know that? Well, you begin to have this thought, nobody understands. Or here's another thought, nobody cares. That's just not true. There's always people who care. And there's always people who understand. And God is always there. You are never, ever alone. Joshua 1:9, this is my command, God speaking to Joshua, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Boy, some of you just need to put that little sentence in the forehead or on your hand or someplace. Don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God is always with you. He's always there, but it doesn't feel like it. Well, tell your feelings to take a hike. Let your mind tell you the truth. Even though I don't feel like it, the truth is God is with me. The truth is I'm not alone, and God is close. Well, it just feels like God's 100 miles away. It might feel like that, but he's not. It just feels like God's not listening to me. It might feel like that, but he is. Well, I just don't understand what God is doing. You don't need to. Just obey. John 14:15. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and the Father will give you another advocate, the Holy Spirit, who is God, who will never leave you. Never leave you. Great news today. You're never alone. Whatever you're going through this morning, God's close. God's near. And God's not leaving. That's good to know. Good to know. I'm not in this by myself. I'm not all alone. God's here. And people are here. And I need to accept that. Second thing, follow the clear commands of Scripture. In other words, keep doing what God's word says to do. There's never a good reason to disobey God. And yet I have heard, and probably you have too, from people saying, well, Pastor, I know what the Bible says, but. And as soon as they say that, I know we're in trouble here. Well, I know it says this, but I think, oh, stop. Yeah, if you know what it says, do it. You just keep doing it. You keep doing what's right. Well, but this isn't fair. See, we act like spoiled child. If God's not going to do what I want him to do when I want him to do it, then I will just not serve him. That's real mature to begin with, right? And who are you hurting there? You're hurting God, but you're hurting yourself more. And you see, we kind of, well, God doesn't know what I want to do. And so we begin to distance ourselves. We begin to stay away from things we should be involved in. We begin to hide out. We begin to not do what God wants us to do. And we just don't follow God as we should and obey him and do what he wants us to do, even though it doesn't make sense to us. You know, the Bible addresses almost all of the issues of obedience in our lives. So am I going to keep doing what God wants me to do? Am I going to keep being faithful in serving him and following him? He's close to me. And now what I'm going to do in the midst of all this struggle, I'm going to keep following God and doing what's right according to his word. Psalm 119, verse 1. Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for them with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in his paths. You've charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. Wow. See, joyful are the people who obey his laws, who do what he says. So we come to that place where we recognize God's close to me and I'm going to keep doing what's right in his sight and in his word. Thirdly, have consistent positive thoughts. Consistent positive thoughts. Consistent positive thoughts. You see, when we start getting into trouble, we start getting negative thoughts, don't we? We start thinking about, well, what if this happens? And what if this happens? And this is probably never going to happen, and I'm never going to do this, and this will always be like this, and I'm just not going to make it. And we just get negative, don't we? Now, here's the deal. I'm the broken record. I'm repeating myself. I know it. I know I just had a birthday. I know I'm getting old, but I'm not senile yet. Unless you talk to my grandkids, and they kind of think, eh, he's just gonna, you know. Anyway, I'm not there yet. Let me just say it again. When you're negative, faith is absent. Faith is positive. And so if I'm going to get through this time, I have to be a positive person. We must keep our mind positive on the things of God. Faith is always positive. Now, faith doesn't ignore the problem. Faith doesn't pretend like nothing's wrong. Faith accepts this is what's happening. This is what's going on. This is what's going to take place. This is what's going. But in the midst of all of that, I still see God in it. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 gives us a little insight into what's going on in Abraham's mind. We have a little sidebar, so to speak, in the New Testament. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. Even though God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. So can you imagine what's going on in Abraham's head? I don't understand this. God didn't want me to do this, and yet God had told me this, and God said this, and this doesn't make sense to me, and how is this going to happen? Boy, I don't know what's going on here. Verse 19 is critical. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. Abraham said, look, I don't understand any of this, but here's what I know. God kept his promise. God will always keep his promise. So if I do this, God will just bring him back to life. What do you see? He saw the positive side of what could happen. Right? He recognized it was a problem. He recognized it was hard. He didn't understand it. He just chose, he said, well, God, you know, I'm going to do this. And so I guess this is all over. I guess I'll never be the father of many nations. I guess God didn't tell me right. I guess this is just done. I'll kill it, but I guess nothing's good to come out of this. Now, let's be honest. Some of you know how you get when things get a little hard. You get negative. Well, I'll never do that again. This will never happen for me. I guess I'm just doomed to be this way. I guess I'll just have to, you know, do And you create this horrible scenario, don't you? And it never ends well, does it? But you see, if God's in it, it's going to end well. I don't understand it. I can't picture it. I don't see it. But faith tells me, you know what? God is going to keep his word. And so even though it doesn't make sense to me, I'm not going to go to the negative scenario. I'm going to go to the positive scenario. That's what faith does. Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Wow, I got all this going on and you want me to tell God this and be grateful? New concept, isn't it? Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. His peace will guard you as you obey God. His peace will guard you as you live for God. So have consistent, positive thoughts. And put somebody into your life that you can talk to, and when you start getting negative, give them permission to tell you to shut up. And give them permission to tell you you're thinking wrong. Okay, I'll go on. Understand there's a cost. Understand this is cost. You know, and I hear it, you know, people walk out and go, oh, but Pastor, this is so hard. Remember one time a guy did that to me and he said, this is so hard. And he had a Bible in his hand. I took it and I said, show me in here where it says it's going to be easy. Show me. So, or my other line is, it's so hard. Well, oh, if it's hard, don't do it. I mean, God forbid anything be difficult in life. If it's hard, just back away from it. You know, there is going to be a cost. Obedience isn't always easy, but it's always right. Obedience is not our natural tendency. It's not what we tend to want to do. We tend to want to do our way, our thing, what makes sense to us, the easy way. Hebrews 5:8. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things that he suffered. Oh, see, it's just so hard. It's difficult. And yet, in John writes in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, loving God means keeping his commandments. And his commandments are not a burden. Every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. It's not a burden. It's not something you need to run from. It's difficult. Dealing with the problems of life is hard, isn't it? It wears on you. There's just things that go on in our lives that you and I face that we just think, wow, this is really hard. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how to do it. And I just have to understand, you know what? Life is hard sometimes. And even though it's hard, and you know, God wants me to do what? And even though it doesn't make sense, I will still obey him, even though obedience is costly. You know, God says, forgive that person who did something to me, and I don't want to. I want God to get them. I want God to get them good. And God says, let it go. Oh, God, that's so hard. I said, oh, well, if it's hard, don't do it. No. Obey. Do what's right. Do what's right. Next step, put your confidence in God. Put your confidence in God. Never doubt God. Never doubt God's faithfulness. Never doubt God's ways. They're better than our ways, but they're not our ways. Never doubt God's character. God is good. God knows what he's doing. God sees what I don't see. Never doubt God's love for you. God loves me. He wants what's best for me. He knows what's going on. I don't see the whole picture. I don't have a clear understanding, but God does. And so I will trust in him, and I will put my confidence in him. You see, what we tend to do is put our, well, maybe if I go do this, and maybe if I talk to this, and maybe if I do it this way, maybe if I can just be in charge and control things. No, God, you're going to help me. I'm going to do what's right in your sight. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to do the things you want me to do that are right to do, that are hard to do. I'm going to do them. But God, as I'm doing them, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. You come up front and I pray for you, or you ask me to pray for you, you'll hear me pray this prayer a lot because I really believe it. God, thank you for what doctors are doing. We pray that you'll use them for the surgery. It's what I pray for me. I know that you give them wisdom, use their skill. But God, I'm looking to you to heal me. God, my trust is in you. I mean, if my trust is in doctors, I'm not going. Right? It takes sometimes more faith to go to a doctor than it does to not to. But God, my faith is in you. You're going to take care of me. You're going to provide for me. You're going to do what needs to be done. You're going to help me. You're going to lead me. I'll trust you. 2 Corinthians 1:9. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely on God who raises the dead. And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. Now, there's a confident person in God. Hebrews 10:35. So don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will, continue to obey. Then you will receive all that he has promised. Be confident in God. God's going to take care of this. I don't know how. I don't understand it. I don't like it all the time. But I know that God will be faithful to me because God is a faithful God. That's his character. That's his nature. I trust him. Last one. Continue until there's provision. Pastor, how long I got to do this? Until. Until what? Until God provides. Now, sometimes we think, well, God's going to provide this. Maybe he'll provide in another way. I will keep obeying God and doing this until I'm through, until God has provided. I will not give up. I will not get discouraged. I will not be unfaithful. I will just keep serving and obeying God and doing what God wants me to do with a positive way of having joy and peace in the midst of it all, knowing that God is faithful, and I will continue to serve him, and somehow, some way, God will provide. 1 Corinthians 13:7. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Wow. Philippians 2:12, dear friends, you've always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now I'm away. It's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. You keep going. You don't give up. Well, how's the story end? Let's look at it. Pick up Genesis 22 at verse 11. Remember, Abraham's got the knife up. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him in heaven. Now notice something. At that moment, what's that moment? That moment is the last second, isn't it? I wish God didn't wait until the last second, didn't you? Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Don't hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Here's what God wants to know. Will you love him even though things aren't going the way you expect him to go? Will you love him more than anything else in your life? Will you put him above everything else, no matter what's going on in your life today? Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horn in a thicket. And so he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means the Lord will provide. And to this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Now, on the mountain of the Lord, what's going on at the mountain of the Lord? You're making a sacrifice. Abraham knew that if he obeyed, God will provide. Here's the question. Do you know that? Does your life demonstrate that? And there are some of you here this morning going through some really difficult times, facing some circumstances and situations that don't make sense. You're maybe asking why. You're maybe asking why now, and why is it so hard? And God, I didn't get it. Will you continue to do what God wants you to do and be faithful to him, knowing that if you will, God will provide? So this morning, what I'd like for you to do, if you're here today, and you're facing one of these times, we're going to take a moment, and would you be willing to say to the Lord this morning, God, I don't have answers. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to obey you no matter what happens, and I believe you're going to provide for me what I need.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.